This is the Chicago Golf Report podcast, hosted by Walter Liss. Today's guest is performance coach and best-selling author, Jim Fannin.
Yeah, so I guess my first question watching the tennis documentary was, it struck me how much the game is such a mental game. You're talking about some of the top players that they followed, and they followed a lot of the top five players, and they all went back to the points in the match where it was became this mental grind, and either they were able to deal with it or they did not. Can you talk a little bit about that as far as the taxingness of tennis, especially on that elite stage mentally?
Well, I coached champions. I've coached a French Open champion. Peter Fleming won 4 Wimbledons. I coached 7 players, top 10 in the world. The key is it's the player with the most constants in a crazy game of variables. And of course, golf has even more variables. A player with the most constants in a game of variables will prevail. So what kind of constants do you need? You need technical constants. The man that or woman that executes the basics, only the basics when the money's on the table, picks up the money. So you need to have the basics. That's your entry fee just to get on the tour. If you don't have those, okay, you're not even going to be on the tour, much less win the French Open or Wimbledon. The other constants that are extremely difficult is sleep. It's difficult in tennis to get a consistent night's sleep. It's not easy in golf. One time you tee it up at 1, next time you tee it up at 7:55. You're getting up at 4:30, and the other ones you can sleep late. Baseball, the same thing. There's a lot of variables. I coach a lot of baseball players. But the mental variables, the best in the world don't do anything without a blueprint. Djokovic has a blueprint on how he's going to perform at his best physically, mentally, technically. But the real key to maintain getting to the top, well, the difficult part is staying there. That's a different paradigm. Throwing a wife, throwing some kids, you have a serious challenge. I'm not sure I'd want to be a spouse of a pro athlete. I think that may be the toughest job on the planet because of all the variables. And a player, you know, when they're at their best, they need to cocoon themselves into their sport. But when they walk off the course, when they walk off the court, you got to shut that arena. You got to close it, take a little 90-second transition. I've told every top pro I've coached, you're more than a golfer. Don't ever forget that. You're more than a tennis player. I don't care if you're the best in the world. I've coached number one in the world. You're more than that. You're a son. You're a daughter, you're a sibling, brother, sister, your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, you have friends, got your own money, got your own wellness. You're more than that. So what we do at Zone Coach Consulting Service and my other company, Jim Fannin Brands, we design very detailed, reverse engineered life blueprints. And we did that for Luke Donald. We do that for, you know, all of our clients. And then we have a proprietary program guaranteed to manifest your potential. And again, if you don't have the potential, I'm not sure you're going to win Wimbledon this year. I haven't seen you play, but the odds are you're not. So if you have the potential, we can help you realize it.
So you mentioned Luke Donald, obviously a Northwestern guy. You also work with University of Illinois, Mike Small. The definition of a program that's consistently excellent. Mike Small, one of the best golfers in Illinois history as well. Can you talk a little bit about working with young golfers like that and helping them and what you're able to do to help their team?
Well, Mike Small is NCAA Coach of the Year, I think twice. I think he's won the Big Ten Coach of the Year. It's a record, 10 times, it's something crazy. I've been with the program well over a decade. We've had 2 national champions. Here's the key to Illinois. First of all, Mike Small is a great teacher, a great coach, and he's fair, tough, and demanding, and he will hold you accountable. And the key for Illinois is we take a lot of pride in reaching a standard, a minimum requirement for satisfactory performance. You know, people talk about greatness all day long. We throw that word around. Oh, my gosh, that was a great play, great bunker shot, great hole-in-one we just saw, you know, on 17 at the Players. That's a great shot. But greatness is hitting that high standard, a minimum requirement for a solid performance over a very long period of time. Illinois has done that. We hit a high standard, and we've done it over well over a decade. And yes, I'm the mental coach, and I coach Coach Small when he plays, and I definitely coach all the players on the team. But he's special. He deserves whatever accolades he gets, and because he's stood the test of time, and he's hit a high coaching standard over a long period of time. We're coaching Rice baseball now with Jose Cruz Jr., longtime client. He's doing the same, getting his team to reach a high daily standard over a long period of time.
So you talked about Mike Small being special. You've worked with so many special athletes. You've worked with Frank Thomas, Hall of Famer, Jim Tomey, Hall of Famer. You've worked with A-Rod, Randy Johnson. These are special generational athletes. What do you take from the work you do with those types of players with, say, the guy who might be the fourth player on the University of Illinois? How do you translate, or is it all the same principles that you kind of espouse?
I treat everybody the same. And if you're an amateur, you're a minor leaguer, you know, you're on the Corn Ferry, first thing I say, I'm going to treat you like a top 10 pro. Are you okay with that? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, that means I'm going to hold you to the wall. I'm going to hold you accountable. Are you okay with that? Because I'm not going to play. Once you tell me your vision, what, number one in the world? You know, when I asked Frank Thomas, so what do you want, Frank? Why am I here? I was already coaching other guys on the White Sox. He looked me dead in the eye and goes, Hall of Fame. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm going to ask you again. What do you want? Why am I here? He didn't even waver. Hall of Fame. I said, it's going to cost you. What, your fee? I started laughing. I go, my fee's chump change. How much money are you going to make? You'd be paying me out of your front pocket, not your savings and loan pocket. No, you got to sacrifice it. If you have an abnormal dream, number one in the world, Hall of Fame, that's not normal. Then you must think abnormally. An abnormal dream requires abnormal thinking. I help all my clients, amateur, pro, even executives, GE Healthcare, Transamerica, we coach CEOs, reaching a high daily standard. And we hold everybody accountable. We discovered five markers in a research I did at Ohio State decades ago. You possess it, Walter, I possess it. We all possess these markers. And these markers trigger real natural body chemistry. We all have a higher or low level of self-discipline, the commitment to stay with task routines to reach well-defined goals, to take you to a vision at any given time. You can have a lot of discipline, or you may be out of control and you have none. No time management, no persistence, no blueprint. That produces cortisol when you have well-defined goals, and that's a stress chemical. Get you up off the couch and, you know, get you moving. The second marker is concentration. That triggers glycogen. That narrows your focus. We have a whole protocol on how to not only hold your focus, but hold it over a long period of time. And when you lose it, get it back. The third marker was optimism. That triggers endorphins, a feel-good chemical where you think nothing can go wrong. Relaxation is another component of your mindset. That's free from worry, anxiety. The best athletes in the world breathe under 10 breaths a minute all the time, not just in their sport. Most people walking around are breathing 15, 17 breaths. And if you're freaked out, panicked, stressed, fearful, you're way over 20 breaths. So we help everybody get control and get that constant. Nobody controls your breathing but you. And that triggers serotonin. That's another chemical. And last is not least is enjoyment. You got to enjoy the challenge. You got to enjoy the climb up the mountain. For the A-Rods and the Frank, you better enjoy the wall of scrutiny. You get to the top, everybody's watching. They don't care if you fall or not. Media doesn't. They'll write about it if you collapse. They'll write about it if you succeed. And they'll sell whatever they're selling either way. So the wall of scrutiny is a game changer for the average person. That's not normal. I travel with A-Rod and Frank, and we couldn't go out to dinner without being bothered. Not possible. So those five markers trigger all those chemicals. Those chemicals all at once trigger the zone. And that is a glorious state. We all have it in us. That doubles, triples shutter speed. The cup looks like a waste can, which is awesome when you're in that flow. And I think Scotty Scheffler was in a zone state periodically throughout the, you know, the last week. And I can't wait for the Masters to see the pressure ratcheted up. I'm going to see who's going to choke and who's going to go for it and hit that high standard.
So one of the things you've talked about is the amount of thoughts that we have, especially on the golf course. And I think you've mentioned in the past, 80% of our thoughts are either in the future or in the past. And especially on the golf course, that's hard. How do we manage that?
Well, you have to eliminate what you don't want and what you don't need. So the first thing we do is we get rid of worry. We can do that with our clients 7 to 10 days. Gone. You will not worry. I hope I don't look 73 years old. I'll be 74. I don't look it. I don't act it. I don't worry. I don't care what happened 5 minutes ago unless I can learn from it. Or maybe, Walter, you and I have a belly laugh about something we did 20 years ago. That's a different. But you got to stay out of the past. Our battle cry at Illinois, next, with an exclamation mark. Walter, that's even on my tombstone. My wife has to put that on my will. She hates when I talk about it. I'd like a pop-up movie on my tombstone. She goes, well, that's not going to happen. But the word, one word, it's in my will. She has to put that one word on there. Next, with an exclamation point. So it's the next move, the next step, your next target on the golf course, your next target where you're serving in tennis. And that next mindset will start stringing the present tense together. So we have a 5-second rule in golf. You're only as great as the 5 seconds after every swing. Now, if you duck hook off the tee and roll your eyes, bang your club on the bag, throw it down on the bag, you've repeated the past. The zone's long gone. It's in another zip code, and you're going to struggle. What do? In that 5 seconds, you lift your chin up. That'll prevent that one thing. You lift your chin going into the past becomes very difficult. And going into the negative past for 3 out of 4 people, it's not going to happen. So after every shot, raise your chin. And then you have one thought, where's my next target? Even if you're walking close to OB to find your ball, my energy's on my next target. And hula hoop targets in the fairway, toothpick targets in the cup on the green. And we like our targets conservative, simple, and then let it rip.
One of the things you've mentioned that was a game changer when I first heard it, maybe you could share it, was the idea of the importance of visualization right before you go to bed and your subconscious. And I think I might have seen a video where you mentioned even that worked for someone you were working with regard to putting. Can you talk a little bit about that, sort of the last bit of time before we go to bed and the importance of using that for visualization?
Well, we discovered, and it's been backed up with further research, but in that last 30 minutes, you're in an alpha brainwave state, which is very amenable to suggestion. Unfortunately, it'll take bad seeds. Good seeds. You go to bed thinking about what you don't want. That's going to be recorded by the subconscious only in that 30-minute window. And then it's going to be replayed 15 to 20 times during the night. Now you wonder why you have a bad night's sleep. You need to change what you thought. But with the athletes that I'm coaching, yeah, we play the entire round the night before. For most big events, we've done it. Like the Masters, I've had guys working on that 2 months ago, visualizing the Masters. So visualization works. We all do it. whether you believe in it or not, you do it 60% of your waking hours. That's almost 70 hours a week. A lot of people call it daydreaming. Okay, that's visualization. So at our company and at our facility, we have proactive visualization, synchronized visualization. We have task imagery where it's just 1 8-foot putt. We have situational imagery. It's an 8-foot putt, but it's on the 18th at Augusta, and it's on the 72nd hole. It's a different putt, same putt you've made a million times, but it's a different. You'll know it when you get there. So we help you prepare for what's going to happen. We train so to not think. So at night in that 30-minute window, you can program your subconscious mind, good or bad. And once you do that, you don't need to think. You're on automatic pilot. And that's really what it's all about. Prepare to not think so that you can swiftly adjust. And then, of course, we evaluate brutally whether you won or lost. They don't like evaluating when they lose. Most don't even want to evaluate when they win. But we treat them both as imposters. We evaluate cold, objective, with no emotion, no matter what. That's where we hold them accountable.
So I guess if we finish up, I have a couple more questions. Number one, you have a video coming up on your Jim Fanich show on YouTube, and I'm imagining it's related to goal setting. It's called What's Your Mount Everest? Can you talk a little bit about what you're going to be covering?
The one that is coming out, our third episode is about the zone. And people come in to me just like, Frank, what do you want? A-Rod came to me in 96. I said, so what do you want? Why am I here? How do you want me to give you an edge? Batting title. I go, batting title? You're hitting 218. You're going to be sent to the minors. I'm coaching Lou Piniella, your manager. He told me you're going to Tacoma. You also had more errors than your team accumulative. So you're telling me you want batting title? I asked him again, what do you want? Batting title. And he changed all of his routines. It was like April 18th, early in 96. And he did win the batting title that year, coming from a deep hole he dug himself into. So that's his Mount Everest. Frank's was Hall of Fame. And what's your Mount Everest? You decide what success is, where you want to go. We'll design a blueprint, guaranteed, a whole life blueprint, not just for your sport or business. And then we have a score success system. It's federally registered since 1979. I've helped over 4,000 clients reach their Mount Everest. And that's what the show's about. Tell me your Mount Everest. We'll show you a program on how to climb it. I'm your Sherpa to help you get up the hill. We have a lot of coaches also besides myself, zone coaches. We're hiring more. And I'm excited because we're opening up our international headquarters in Oak Brook Terrace, Illinois. We have a 100-seat training center. We're going to be doing golf seminars. They're going to be streamed. Many are going to be live. And we're going to be doing business, life, sports. And we're excited also about the Jim Fanning Show. And I'm really fulfilling a deathbed promise, Walter, to take my program to the masses. I've never wanted to do that. I've been in the trench for 51 years, just doing the best I can to help my clients be the best they can be. And I promised my mother as she died in my arms, which was kind of surreal, that, Mom, I promise I'll take score to the masses. And after she died, I'm like, whoa, what is that? I don't know how to do that. And I've got a team built now, and that's what we're doing. So I'm excited about opening up this new training center.
So a final question then is, what do you get excited about, say, like you said, Masters coming up? What's your favorite part of, say, the game of golf? Obviously, there's a mental component. You've also played. You've coached with so many people. What do you think is so special about the game that you really enjoy?
It's the game with the most variables. It's a mental game. Everybody on the PGA, LPGA, even Korn Ferry, everybody has the basics. Some a little bit better than others. But the basics are just, that's your entry fee and getting there. So I love golf because of the difficulty. What do you do 5 hours focused? What do you do? What does anybody do 5 hour of focus? And the answer is, you don't do anything except play golf. And can you really focus 5 hours? Do you have to? We figured out you don't, but you do have to focus in the pre-shot routine and obviously during the shot. So we have a whole protocol on how to think less, how to produce more. And but I love golf just because it's not easy. And I love watching tough competitors climb their Mount Everest. We all love to watch, and some fail and some don't. Ours, we're climbers. And I tell everybody, bring sunglasses, bring some oxygen, and maybe a little sunblock, because we're going up. What's your Mount Everest? We'll help you climb it.